All right, welcome. Welcome to Camp Day Chapel, and we are expecting a few more people to join us, so maybe when I'm finished, I'll call more people to come up front and sit on the floor. It's wonderful to have representatives from various camps with us. If you'd just stand, if you're one of the camp reps right now, and if you're maybe wave your hand or something so we can see where you are, look around. Let's welcome our visitors to camp today. And finding out exactly where the camp folks are from, so stand and wave again if you're from Pennsylvania, one of the camps. And students from Pennsylvania, wave back at them, make sure you connect. Yeah? There's a few anyway. What about West Virginia? Anyone from West Virginia today, camps? I didn't think so, but there's one that's almost in West Virginia. Where are you folks? Burgton? Burgton, Virginia? You're almost there. I don't see anyone standing and waving. Oh, up top by the statue. If you're from West Virginia, wave back. What about Ohio? Camps from Ohio? Right up here. If you're from Ohio, wave back. I'm from Ohio. Whoa. Michigan. Any camps from Michigan today? They stayed up north or got stuck in the snow. Maybe Vermont, but they made it. Vermont, way in the back. If you're from Vermont or wish you were, wave back. Some of us wish we were. Washington, D.C., Maryland, right over here. Let's wave to them. If you're wearing a camp shirt, stand up. We invited folks to wear camp shirts or T-shirts or sweatshirts today. Stand up proudly. Show us your shirt. We thank you for getting into the spirit. All right. All right. Have a seat. What's that? Iowa. Iowa. Way in the back. If you're from Iowa, wave back to them.
Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota. Who else? Minnesota. And who else? What states, provinces? What? Did I not say Virginia? Virginia. All right. After this chapel, we'll be happy to just hang around a while for some fellowship and get to know the staff and the camps and the programs they have. They have summer jobs. They also have candy, some of them. We're going to hear from our own Professor Lester Zook, introducing the Wilderness Seminar and reflections from three students.
So welcome. Throughout human history, wilderness as a place has been identified with terror and disorder. Wilderness, a place where evil lurks. The word to bewilder actually draws from the same root. And when someone is bewildered, it means they are sort of lost, maybe disoriented, lose their moral bearings, to bewilder, to go to the wilderness. Don't go into the deep, dark woods. Beware the wolf, the bogeyman, Sasquatch, or the devil. In American geography, we've confirmed this tradition by naming massive and fearsome places after the Prince of Darkness himself. Devil's Tower, Wyoming. Devil's Backbone. Devil's Thumb, a scary spire of rock in Alaska. An hour from here, and not too far from where our friend Dan Kennedy grew up, there's a pile of boulders on the side of a mountain. Boulders as big as a car that you can scramble up in the George Washington National Forest, Devil's Marble Yard. So we have this tendency to name things out in the wilderness by evil. Jesus himself went into the wilderness, and there he met Satan and had to struggle through his own temptations to moral and spiritual compromise. But Jesus demonstrated obedience and righteous decisions, and he received there his call and a confirmation to his ministry. And so Jesus redeemed the wilderness as a place where one can experience God's care and ministry. And like Moses and Elijah and Paul, Jesus discovered the wilderness can be a place to hear the voice and direction of God. Every second year, Eastern Mennonite University attempts to provide this same experience for students. The EMU Wilderness Seminar is a three-week trip experience visiting various backcountry and wilderness areas in Virginia and West Virginia. We backpack, we cave, we climb, we canoe, we do a 3-day solo. And in the process, we witness some awesome and fearsome places. But we seek God, we practice communal living, we learn leadership, and so we attempt to turn the wilderness into a place of worship and growth and sharing. Three students that went on the trip this past May in 2012 are just going to share very briefly from their reflections and journals. Peter Labosh is a senior outdoor ministry major. He'll be sharing just briefly about his personal experience on the trip. Chad Reinford is a junior outdoor ministry major. He'll be talking a little bit about the two books that we read prior to the trip, Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl and Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. And then Nathaniel Freed, a junior kinesiology major, will share a little bit about leadership. So we'll hear briefly from them, and then I'll wrap up. So guys, if you would come wherever you are, and just in that order, Peter, Chad, Nathaniel.
So I'm going to be reading a little bit of a section from my reflection paper that I wrote after the trip, and it's mainly about just the ways that I was stretched over the three phases of the trip. So here we go. The first day, I remember being told that we were lucky we had a sunny day and no rain, but that soon changed. The next day, we had rain that lasted all morning. I didn't really mind it at the time, but 2 days later, when we had to turn around and walk back up the hill that we had just come down, is when I started to get unhappy. That was probably the time I was most stretched physically. Now that I've finished the hike, though, I look back and realize it wasn't actually that bad. The second phase of the trip was paddling down the Greenbrier River. This trip was not as much physically demanding as it was mentally for me. I was hoping for some sun, but most of the trip was cold and wet. Paddling in the rain for me was miserable, and I was sick of being wet by the end of these 3 days. The 3 days were the low point for me on the whole trip. Knowing that there's not much that you can do to stay dry on a river when it's rainy and cold is really tough. The rain in general is something that I had a hard time dealing with. When it's gray and gloomy, I tend not to be so happy, so I really enjoy having sun. The third phase, the major expedition, was something that was hard just by itself. But adding being wet and never being able to dry out your boots and other equipment gets a lot harder. With all the rain, I was very grateful for 3 days of sun during our solo to enjoy. The trip helped me grow a lot with learning to deal with these types of things. I've learned to accept the weather for what it is and to enjoy along with learning to go without a phone or computer. I learned that even in the bad times, you can find good and get through. I don't think I'll ever complain about a day of rain again.
All right, I'm just going to share a little bit about the two books we read. In the book, Man's Search for Meaning, we discuss the main theme of the last human freedoms. And the most prominent, which was the ability to choose our attitudes in any given set of circumstances. And this really showed to me through this trip. It was raining a lot, we were all wet a lot of the time, and just kind of, we're all miserable and complaining as students. But our leaders always seemed to have smiles on their faces and always found something to share that was good about the rain. Just the importance of this came to me, and just the understanding that even when things are falling apart around you, when you have things planned that aren't going the way you planned them, you can always choose to be happy about the outcome or whatever you're doing. And our second book, Pilgrim's Progress, as I read through that, the main thing that I pulled out of that is that just being tested in the wilderness, the whole idea of that. And this book talked a lot about it, and also the Bible talks a lot about it. Lots of different people being tested in the wilderness, from Jesus' 40 days to the Hebrews' 40 years in the wilderness. And just learning to grow from that and being able to find your spiritual connection to that.
So one of the main things about Wilderness Seminar that we were trying to learn was about leadership. We did this through a couple different ways. One was just talking with our leaders, Lester, and then our assistant leader, Pat, about different leadership aspects and different parts of leadership. But another, and I think probably the more important one for me at least, was we all got the opportunity to be the leader of the day, or LOD as we affectionately referred to it. This was basically what it sounds like. We were the leaders for the day, and Lester and Pat would kind of step back and let us lead, and we'd have to make sure everything was done right, and at the end of the day, we'd be critiqued on kind of what we did and what we did well and what we maybe didn't do so well. So I'm just going to kind of share a story from the one day when I was leader of the day and kind of what I learned from that. So it was the night before I actually was the leader of the day, and Lester always told us the night before when we were about to be the leader of the day, and we were kind of in a transition period moving from our first backpacking phase to a canoe phase, which I was excited about. You know, hiking for 3 solid days is fun, but it gets kind of tiresome, so I was looking forward to sitting in a canoe and just cruising, which isn't really what we did. But anyway, it was the night before, and Lester told me that I was going to be the leader of the day. And so we looked at the maps like we always did the night before, kind of planned our route, and made sure we knew what we were doing. And that night, I went to bed kind of excited but also kind of nervous because I would be leading the next day. I woke up in good time, got everybody up, kind of delegated responsibilities for breakfast and, you know, tearing down camp so we could move to the river. We were just in a campsite not too far away. And that all went well. While people were tearing down, I was looking over the maps, making sure that I knew where we were going. So if there were questions, you know, I could address those. And so things were going well, and we got in our van, drove to the river, and on the shore we did a little bit of instruction, just some things about paddling and some things to know while you're canoeing. And so Lester went through all those things, and then he told us, you know, all right, we're going to get in the canoes, we're going to be going down for a little stretch of the river, and I'm going to be just, you know, helping you guys dial in your strokes and get everything down, and then we'll turn our focus back onto our goals for the day. And so we did that, and it went well, and I was enjoying it. I was like, I think I could, you know, get used to this canoeing thing. And Lester finishes his little instructions and then turns to me and says, all right, Nathaniel, I'll just take a look at the maps. I just want to, you know, go over them real quick. And so he was in the back, I was in the front, and I turned to the front of the canoe and quickly realized I didn't have the maps. And, if you're wondering, as leader of the day, it was absolutely my job to have the maps, and I didn't. So... my excitement for this new part of our trip quickly turned to horror as I realized I had forgotten the maps in the van, and I think, I don't know, the rest was kind of a blur, but I think I turned around to Lester and he could tell by the sheer anxiety on my face that I had indeed forgotten the maps. And so before I knew it, we're all quickly paddling for the left bank, and Lester and I are yelling at the other guys to get over, and our assistant leader, Pat, had to run back, which was not a short distance, back to the van and get the maps. And needless to say, after that, I was literally not a happy camper for a little bit. But I think one thing that I learned through that experience was that you need to have confidence as a leader. And I think I knew that, but what I didn't necessarily think about was you need to have confidence always as a leader, even when you make mistakes, and especially when you make mistakes. And I think having this experience just helped me to realize that if you are confident when you make mistakes, you kind of get the flip side of bad things if you don't have confidence. So whereas if you don't have confidence when you're a leader and you make a mistake, then your followers are quickly going to lose confidence in you. But if you can show that you can have confidence even in your mistakes, then that's something your followers are going to pick up on, and you're going to earn a lot of validity in your leadership. So I would encourage anyone who's thinking about going on wilderness seminar to go. It will challenge you as a leader, and physically and in pretty much all areas, but I think it's a very valuable experience, and just don't forget the maps like I did. Thanks.
Thank you, gentlemen. And I think, Nathaniel, just to tag on that, so rebounding from a mistake. Also, we all need grace in our lives, and that's just one illustration. So if you're interested, May 2014 actually is the next Wilderness Seminar trip. For non-outdoor ministry majors, it actually satisfies a senior seminar requirement, so there might be a draw. It is required for outdoor ministry students. You can have a different kind of wilderness experience this summer, serving young people at a camp, exploring your own life's call, refining your gifts and skills of service and leadership, and meeting God in the outdoors. Shall we bow? Gracious God, thank you for this amazing wild world that you have created. The beauty of your handiwork is evident every time we step outdoors. Thank you for the beauty you surrounded us with. Thank you, too, that you've created such an amazing setting in which we can grow and live and learn. And so today we think in particular of where you might be calling us how you might be wanting to stretch us and grow us. We submit ourselves once again to your will and plan and ask that you yourself would be our guide. In Christ's name, amen.